Before we start this episode of CFD's Podcast for Good, let's give a little shout out to our presenting sponsor, WSECU. WSECU has been a part of the community since 1957 and has been supporting the CFD in a big way since 2011. Thanks to them, we were able to bring you spectacular events and promotions like the Masquerade Ball, Golf for Veterans Tournament, and our incredible First Week to Give, which has been responsible for raising tens of thousands of dollars in donations to charities throughout our community. For more on how WSECU serves charities throughout our community, visit www.wsecu.org/community. And of course, visit our website to find out more about our incredible partnership with WSECU. And now, here's the show.
This is Orphanages on NPR.
There's nothing like a cold open would be hard with the Orphanages thing. I mean,
that's why you have to talk about something else.
Yeah, because man, that's tough times.
That is tough times. Yeah. So I went to Gay Bingo this weekend.
I don't think we'll go there.
No.
All right. I don't think so.
It was a charity who, you know, member charity. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So it was really hot this weekend.
So what'd you do? I went to Gay Bingo. Yeah. That's it. Period. Done.
It was good. I mean, otherwise, like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have anything else.
You don't have anything for that.
It's over. It's over.
It's over.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Season 3, Episode 29. My name is Philip Kerrigan. I am the program manager of the Washington State Combined Fund Drive, and this is...
Heather Lucas, the fiscal and policy coordinator.
And we are the hosts of Podcasts for Good. This week, we are talking about orphanages.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a tough subject to talk about because of the sort of thing that happens when a kid makes it to orphanage. It's never like a pleasant thing.
Yeah,
it's always
true.
Like some sort of traumatic event that led the kid to be in an orphanage to begin with.
Yeah.
Serious topic. But we handle serious topics here on Podcast for Good, and
yes,
we do a pretty good job.
I think so.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Hey. Orphanages do not seem like, the ones you see in Oliver Twist or here in Oliver Twist.
Yeah.
They actually,
have running
standards
water.
And running water and all those different things.
Yeah.
And we sat down with, we didn't do anything.
Yeah.
We
strike
didn't do
that.
Anything.
Reverse it.
Yeah, yeah. We did nothing. Philip didn't do anything. Heather, for like the fourth week in a row,
ow,
sat down with Jan Hansen, the founder and director of 200 Orphanages Worldwide. Now, you didn't sit down with Jan Hansen for 4 weeks. You've sat down for 4 weeks interviewing people.
Yeah, that's true.
How do you feel carrying the load and basically like, just basically saving my patoot every single week?
You can rest easy.
Thanks.
I got this.
Mm-hmm.
So
appreciate
we're
it.
Cool.
Appreciate it. You've gotten good reviews, by the way.
Oh, thank
yes,
you.
Yes. I mean, people who interview just love you. Love your style. I don't even have to be here anymore.
Nice. It's just me. It's just the Heather
it's
show.
Just the Heather show.
Do you remember a few weeks when you were like, Jerrica, this is my show now?
Yeah.
So
it's just
Philip,
your show.
It's my show now. Mine.
By the way, Jerrica, I took the show back. Period.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
Yeah.
There's no, it's not her show.
And so now it is all of my
show. She was mistaken. I took it, and then you've just basically taken it.
Yeah.
From us.
Yeah.
So you interviewed Jan Hansen from 200 Orphanages Worldwide. Talk a little bit about what you thought were the interesting pieces of the interview.
So, naturally, like, the topic was about orphanages. I based this topic off of this charity name and this charity itself.
Yeah.
And when it comes down to it, like, they work more with orphans as opposed to orphanages.
Okay.
But they have projects they work on. So, it wasn't just about, this is the building that is the orphanage.
Yeah.
It was like, well, this orphanage, it needs a well.
Yeah.
This community needs X.
Yeah.
So, we fill in the void.
Yeah.
So, they do a ton of different things. And they work with a ton of different people. And one of the things that Janet mentioned was that they're in 16 different countries.
Oh, wow.
And
the
closest one to us they're working in is Mexico.
Okay.
So they're all over the world, a lot in Africa, in Asia, and then in South America, Central America. So, yeah, that was super cool to know that they're kind of everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty neat. Yeah. That's pretty neat. You know, the system itself is, I mean, basically, the system is a system that has had a lot of stress tests done on it.
Yeah.
We definitely, both domestically and internationally, have a lot of situations where children are left on their own through multiple circumstances. Here in the United States, it's less about the sort of famine and war and things like that that may be done in, that may, kids may experience in Africa.
Yeah.
But here it's, you know, drug abuse, it's neglect, it's, you know, basically, child abuse. It's all those different things. So it's really interesting how the whole thing runs the gamut, depending on where you live.
Yeah, it's true.
But needless to say, orphanages are a very, very key part to
very vital.
Making sure that a kid just doesn't end up on the street.
Yes.
Yeah. So before we get into the podcast, you have a question of the pod.
Yes, this is a rabbit hole question.
Okay. And why don't you ask it?
So I was...
I like that we've got this new phrase coined. It's a rabbit hole question. That's how people know, she's going someplace.
So yeah, I was looking up some trivia for, you know, a little later.
Absolutely.
And it came to celebrities.
Yeah.
So the trivia we're going to do is celebrity nicknames.
Okay.
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 But they are famous orphans. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's how the tie-in works.
Okay.
But it made me think... Okay, so childhood nicknames. You've got to have one. Go.
Yes.
What is it?
Well, obviously, if those who saw last year's Go for the Gold know that I have a very sensitive spot from my time growing up.
Yeah.
And it has to do with a certain figure skater who didn't turn out to be a very nice person, by the way. I'm not slandering her in any way. Those are the news reports.
I see. Okay.
Who
unbiased?
Who got her kneecapped?
Yeah.
By another more unpleasant.
Yes.
Figure skater, I would assume. I don't know her either.
on a personal level.
Right. On any kind of personal level.
Yeah.
But Nancy Kerrigan is who I'm talking about for those who don't know or frankly were like seven when it happened.
Yeah.
Jerrica.
Millennials. Wait, no, are we millennials?
We are millennials.
We're technically zennials.
We're cuspers.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't like to talk about it anymore.
Gen Z. That's who we're at now.
We're not Gen Z.
No. The kids who come after us who don't know things like who Jimi Hendrix is, they're Gen Z.
Okay. And they don't know life without like an iPhone?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Gen Z.
They grew up with...
No, there's no need for like a separate caller ID next to your phone when people call in?
No.
Or an answering machine? No. Remember when...
Dial-up? They don't know
totally
what that
digressing
is.
Here. Remember when... you were about 16 or 17, you got your own maybe phone line and like that sort of stuff, but you had like a phone, caller ID box, and the answering machine.
Oh, yeah.
All on a table.
All on a table, yeah. You had to have an actual like set table spot.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah. And now it's like shrunken into that little phone.
Little itty bitty computer.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, going back to childhood nicknames, about, I can't remember exactly when it was, 97, 98, I can't remember when it was, but Tanya Harding kneecapped Nancy Kerrigan, of course, and then she went down like a ton of bricks holding her knee, and then she screamed out the words, of course, why me? Mm-hmm. Why me? Why me? Why me? So absolutely, my childhood nickname was Why Me. Because my last name's Kerrigan. And today, to this day, I still get people when they're like, how do you spell your last name? You know, if I'm registering for something.
Sure.
I'll be like K-E-R-R-I-G-N. And they're like, oh, yeah, like the figure skater. Yeah, like the figure skater from 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yes. Is that your only reference?
You're still scarred. Is really what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I've gotten over emotional.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten over emotional.
Mm-hmm.
How about you? Nickname. Let's be clear here.
Yeah.
We're not trying to go to the nasty nicknames that we may have gotten from people who
I'm sure I have nasty nicknames.
Like,
I also like that you said that before I started talking. You're like, well, reel it in.
We all know you, Ms. Lucas.
Yes. So I have a nickname. Like, my mom would abbreviate the Heather.
Okay.
She called me Heathy.
Ooh.
But then that became a song that my dad used to sing to me.
Really?
So my nickname essentially was Heather But May. Because my middle name is May.
Okay.
So the song was Heather But May, she poops all day. That's what all the people say about Heather But. That was my name.
That's the name your dad gave you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So really, I don't get embarrassed about things because I grew up with a man like that.
Oh, that's fantastic.
You know, calling me Heather But May in front of human beings.
Yeah, that's nice.
So, yeah.
Didn't come from a classmate.
No.
Didn't come from some bully. Came from your dad.
Came from a dad.
You know, that's family right there.
Yep.
So without further ado, and hitting you with any more of our hidden childhood problems.
Yeah.
We're going to toss it to the interview that Heather had exclusively. Yes.
An exclusive interview
with Jan Hansen, the founder and director of 200 Orphanages Worldwide.
I'm joined by Jan Hansen, the founder and director of 200 Orphanages Worldwide. Jan, thanks for calling in today.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Can you give us a little history about 200 Orphanages Worldwide and what you do for the community?
Sure. 200 Orphanages is what I like to call a virtual organization, and our mission is to raise awareness and funds for building projects that serve orphans. Mm-hmm. And how we apply that vision is we work with United States-based partners who have international orphan care work. We have about 17 partners in 16 countries currently, maybe a few more than that.
But,
okay. So what we do, we work to with our partners if they have a need for a clean water well or a security wall or any kind of infrastructure for their orphanage. Mm-hmm. Or their compound of some sort. So that's really basically what we do. And we're an international organization. How we work locally in the local community is we provide opportunities for donors and volunteers to make a direct impact in the life of orphans. So, and we do that in a variety of different ways.
As far as like the opportunities you have for donors and volunteers, like if somebody mm-hmm. lives in Olympia, what could they do to volunteer on a project?
Oh, that's a really good question. One of our strategies this year has been to organize a toolkit, an online toolkit for people who want to do a party with purpose. Mm-hmm. And so if somebody from Olympia has a heart to help orphans and just doesn't know what to do or where to go, we can help direct them in that we will find a project for them that they can be passionate about. If they love to help vulnerable children with clean water wells, or if they want to provide safety, shelter, and sustainability with, say, agriculture projects, solar, all kinds of different projects like that, we can discuss the project that is very meaningful to them, mm-hmm. and then help them plan just a small in-house gathering to share with their friends and family and colleagues about that project. And really, when you begin to share the story of how people can individually make an impact in mm-hmm. the life of an orphan mm-hmm. or life of a vulnerable child, they want to help. So in some way, and so that you have a basic fundraising goal for that. But even if it's even if you don't meet it, many people do meet it, but even if they don't meet it, you've shared the story, and people are touched by learning about how the lives of children, how they live in other countries, and then they always have an opportunity to give towards our organization.
Right on. So, yeah. Like you said, and like I said, your organization's called 200 Orphanages Worldwide. Can you
Correct.
Speak to the current state of the orphanages in the areas where you're working?
Oh, yes. Well, yes, I sure can. Let me just share a few. First of all, we don't have 200 orphanages. When I founded the organization, mm-hmm. I worked with a colleague in Idaho, and he and I were brainstorming about, really our mutual love for orphans and desire to help.
Okay.
And he said in our conversation, I want to build 200 orphanages. And I thought, oh, that's a really cool name for an organization.
Nice.
So the goal is to help 200 orphanages. and we've been here now working on this for 10 years. It's 11 years, actually. We got our nonprofit status in July of 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been 11 years since we've been doing this, and we have worked on more than 50 projects. So we're a quarter of the way toward our goal. And not being a spring chicken, I'm hoping to get to my goal by before I hit the ground.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the legacy that I want to leave is that I've made the world a better place.
Absolutely.
What I've learned since I started this work, there are about 153 million orphans in the world. And that's numbers including full orphans who have lost both parents
mm-hmm.
and have no one to care for them. And that includes also poverty orphans. I like to call them poverty orphans because some of the examples might be where a mother family is the father leaves the home and the family doesn't have any way to support the child anymore, the mother. And so she has to go to work. Well, there is no daycare. There is no social services to help with any of these issues. And so she ends up giving that child to an orphanage or a orphan care facility.
Okay.
And in those facilities, one of the things that I've been so impressed with, now you have to understand that the partners that we work with are vetted, and so we have a whole list of criteria that our orphan partners need to meet.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is they have to be a United States-based nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
That helps us with vetting. That helps us with knowing that they are accountable to the IRS. They're transparent with their reporting. And they're caring for the children in a holistic manner.
Okay.
One of the things I've loved about our partners is they care for that whole child.
Mm-hmm.
They don't only, give them a bed, and put them off in the corner. They care for these children like their own, which is one of the things that we look for. And I have been so impressed by our partners. We have partners in Tanzania. We have partners in India, Haiti, Guatemala, Cameroon, Kenya. The list goes on. We have like I said, about 16 countries we work in, and in Mexico as well. And one of the things I've been so impressed by is the care that they give the children, and they work with them actually until they are adults and able to be on their own. And one of the, even as we would as parents,
mm-hmm.
we take our children and we raise them up and we give them education and medical care and then an education so that they can be launched into a successful future, right? Well,
yeah.
That's exactly what our partners do. And I have been so impressed by that and very touched by that. Because it's always a question, well, what happens, to the children?
Yeah.
Many of the organizations will actually have it a requirement that the children come back and
mm-hmm.
help the ones that are currently there.
Okay.
So that they instill that in them to giving back to their community where they were raised. So, and it's really, really been an amazing journey for me to see this and observe it even from, the comforts of my Washington home, right?
Yeah.
To be able to know that there are people out there that are truly caring day to day for the children.
Yeah, absolutely. So mm-hmm. when you go into an area where you're like starting to work with an orphanage, what
mm-hmm.
what have you seen are the biggest needs or the biggest challenges these orphanages are facing?
That's a good question. They vary a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We work, our work is, we have a few organizations that have more resources than others. They have maybe a larger donor base and this and that. And so their primary concern, a lot of the organizations we work with, is the day-to-day operational funds.
Okay.
For instance, you hear a lot about child sponsorships and this.
Yeah.
Well, we don't do the child sponsorship, but obviously that's a critical factor in all of the organizations we work for.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't do that part. We let other people do that. And so in my view, the next important thing would be that the children have proper facilities. And that, for example, in India, we have an organization called Ashabad Children's Home.
Okay.
And they have about 120 children in their organization mm-hmm. that they care for. Well, we just recently, this is really something that touches my heart so much. Our projects are not large. They're not like, some of them are bigger, but the majority are smaller projects that one small fundraiser could fund, $2,000 to $3,000.
Okay.
And one person could fund that. You know, one person could say, "Oh, I want to do my end of the year giving. I'm gonna buy two cows for the children in India."
Yeah.
And so what happened was they requested that the organization asked us if we could help them fund two cows, milk cows,
mm-hmm.
and a shed and enough feed for a year. And so that amounted to about $3,000. And so we were able to do that. Well, the impact on those children is that now the organization doesn't have to buy milk for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
They can use that money somewhere else. But instead, the kids get milk now twice a day
okay.
instead of once a day.
Nice.
So because they have these cows. I know. So it's just an amazing thing. Just a little bit of our resources can do to help those children have a much better start in life.
Yeah, it's always funny. We get conversation and comments from charities who are looking for items and can't find something, but another charity has extra stuff. So, you know, making uh-huh. the connections between people, it's always so helpful.
Right. Yes, very, very helpful, right?
Yeah.
And for us, you know, our mission is to build raise awareness and funds. And so a big part of what we do is raise awareness. So I am happy to share the story that this partner in India is looking for $1,200 to dig a well.
Okay.
You know, that's what we do. We raise awareness, and then people want to give, you know. So the more the word gets out, that's why I was excited to share with you on this podcast.
Yeah.
Because the more you tell people about the need, you know, people really want to help is what I have found. But they just haven't been given an opportunity.
Yeah, or they don't know how.
And then a direct way, right? A direct way that people are able to go to our website, and we have our projects listed and a picture and a detail about each project,
mm-hmm.
and they can choose to be a part of that project. Excuse me, and which is really kind of amazing, you know. And then that person gets updates too, a little bit more about how we work. When we don't just send the money to the partner, we actually require that partner, for instance, with those cows,
mm-hmm.
they shared with us their search for the right cow.
Sure.
So it was kind of, and then we share that with our partners. You know, we share with the people who have donated and our website and Facebook. You know, how this organization, you know, said, "No, we can't have that cow. We need this cow." you know? So all these kind of simple things, but people can actually watch the progress and the impact of their funds. So anyway, people can be a part of any kind of a project that they are passionate about, which is really meaningful to me as the founder and director, because that is really what I wanted. That's really what I wanted. It, you know, I'm not all about building a huge organization. We're not about that. We're about truly meeting the needs of these orphans and, you know, really doing what we can.
Absolutely.
Doing what we can. And actually, my motto from day one has been, we can't do it all, but we can all do something.
Nice. That's a good motto.
Yes. Yeah. So I always encourage people to do what they can to remember the orphan.
Absolutely.
So we give opportunities for that.
So earlier you mentioned that there are children who help out with your partner organizations. Have you ever had anyone who you worked with that has come back to help 200 orphanages in your mission?
You know, not yet. I expect it, but, you know, not yet. But
yeah.
That's I've not really even, you know, because they're in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
we're sort of once removed from the day-to-day of what they do. So they, a lot of them hear about us just as a donor.
Sure.
They look at us maybe as a corporate donor or corporate sponsor of some kind, but they don't really know that we are there day-to-day, you know, helping them have safe shelter. You know, they don't think about that security wall. Oh, 200 orphanages built that.
Yeah.
So, kind of a little bit maybe down the road for us to begin, you know, sharing that story.
Yeah, and you're only 10 years old, so some of these children might not quite be ready to do that yet.
Exactly. But you know what? I do expect that. That will happen.
Very nice.
Yes.
So you talked a little bit about the variety of the projects and that are available on your website. Can you speak about, like, a little more in depth about what kind of projects that you guys have been taking on in the past couple of years?
Absolutely. Here, let me go ahead. If you go on our, I'm just going to go there myself.
Nice.
and I'll tell you exactly what we have. If people go to our website, you can go up the top tab and click on projects.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. These are so cool. I just get excited when I look at them, to be honest, because I know someone is going to want to help with these. Number one, we have in Haiti that we have an organization that works with special needs children.
Okay.
And they're, Haiti is called My Life Speaks. It's an organization that was started by a couple in Tennessee.
Okay.
And they have special needs children there themselves. And after the earthquake hit in 2010, they decided they wanted to go down and help.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when they were there, they found that the children, the special needs children in Haiti, are discarded.
Oh, wow.
They are just considered cursed, or there's the whole mentality behind caring for special needs children is not there.
Okay.
So this couple decided that they wanted to do something about that, and they moved to a city named Nepli. And now, in the process, they adopted more special needs children. So they care for them themselves, and they live there now. But they created an organization that helps families properly care for these children. And if the children do not have families that don't care for them, they put them in families, and then they help the families support them. And so we just provide, well, we worked with them a couple of years. We helped with the well, we helped with the school bus so they could cart the volunteers that come down there back and forth to, and the children to their medical therapy sessions.
Okay.
And see how I can go on and on about one? You ask me about all of them, and I get all excited about every single one of these.
Well, so it anyway, sounds like you're passionate about it.
It is. We just, donors just provided enough funds for physical therapy equipment. I think it was like $5,000, but they sent a video of these children walking on this treadmill in the therapy session.
Yeah.
And you can see it on our website. And if you're not crying by the time you see that, you know, when you understand that this child probably has never walked before, and of course there's another, you know, an adult standing helping him until he gets going, right?
Yeah.
And but just to see that impact is just so meaningful to me. So right now they're requesting materials for a special ed classroom for the amount of $2,500.
Okay.
And what they want, what that will buy, is tables, chairs. So they're expanding the community around them. They're starting to send their children.
Oh, wow.
Because they see what a work they're doing. So their need is another classroom.
Nice.
Yes. Then there's the India organization that I told you about. They're in need of computers.
Okay.
They need 10 computers. The amount is $5,000. I don't know quite the breakdown of that, but I'm sure we have the invoices on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then a need for some security cameras.
Okay.
$1,700. For, you know, in most countries now, the government has certain requirements, and they're inspected all the time by outside third parties. And so every time there's a need, you know, then obviously they don't have the funds for these things, and so they reach out to us and see if we can find donors to help them with that. So we just send funds to for a phase one of a water project in Tanzania.
Okay.
It's very exciting. And that was a combination of people raising money. As a matter of fact, one of the organizations in, here in Washington, the Washington State Environmental Health Association, invited us to participate in their annual conference, mm-hmm. and we were the recipients of their silent auction. They do a charity auction.
Oh, wow.
And so they, yes, and they donated $2,000, a little bit more than $2,000 for that. So
that's incredible.
I was very excited.
Yeah.
But I know, it was very exciting. So they participated in that, and that is a orphan home that works with vulnerable girls.
Okay.
So, the girls are sent there because of abuse of some kind,
mm-hmm.
and taken from their homes and put in this home. And these girls are like 4 to 6 years old, and they're just the cutest things. And there'll be 50 of them of different ages. They'll mm-hmm. have all ages in this home, separate dorms for the different age groups. But
right on.
Anyway, so we help them get a well started, and then water so the children in the home can have water. So that's one that we just funded. And then we're working on a the same partner. We're working on a fence, security fence around the dormitory.
Okay.
But we also funded the dormitory. The dorm put the money up to that dormitory.
Very nice.
Yeah, so there is such a variety of things that we do. There's three elements of our organization. One is safety, one is shelter, and one is security or sustainability. So the sustainability part would be like the agriculture, the livestock needs.
Uh-huh.
So greenhouses are big. Most of our partners are rural. And so they need to have a way to sustain themselves rather than buying the food.
Sure.
So lots of them have little operations, pigs or, you know, chickens and crops of some kind.
Okay.
So we help with the irrigation or the solar, and usually it's a solar pump.
Mm-hmm.
So there's such a variety. So I could go on and on, as you can see.
Well, it's definitely showing that you're very passionate about your work, so that's good.
Yes, well, I really am. What I love, though, is when I see other people catching the vision,
mm-hmm.
and the joy that they get from being part of this is what is so amazing to me. I just really have, it just really gets me going every day, the reason I get up every morning.
Right on.
To do something to help and open.
Well, speaking about vision, as far as the livelihood of orphans and places where you're working, do you think that things are getting better or things are getting worse or things are kind of about the same?
Oh, you know, I am no expert on world things.
Mm-hmm.
However, from my reading and watching other people, it seems as if most people would agree things are getting better.
Okay, that's good.
I mean, we don't see the starvation
mm-hmm.
that we used to see.
Okay.
When I was a kid,
mm-hmm.
you know, you see these pictures of these Biafran children and their stomachs extended. You don't see that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a large increase in prosperity all across the world in what I see. But that does not mean that people live like we live.
Yeah.
I mean, prosperity to them is they don't have to walk to the river and fill a bucket anymore.
Yeah.
You know, the kids can actually go to school.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to take, you know, the girls can go to school. They don't have to haul water because somebody helped them build a well in their community.
Yeah.
You know, and so even those small things are much better than they've had before. And so that's the better we're talking about. There's still so much more work to be done, and frankly, I don't expect that we would do that work.
Mm-hmm.
We've given them tools. Now they can do their own work, right?
Yeah.
And they're well capable and able in those countries to build their own prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
So we've given a little bit of help, and now, and frankly, some of the partners that we work with, most of them work with the whole community too. They don't only, you know, work within their own sphere.
Okay.
As you know, the NEPLI special ed is kind of, you know, there's a ripple effect that happens.
Yeah.
And so in Tanzania, in particular, the partner we work with, their ultimate vision is to alleviate poverty in rural Tanzania.
Mm-hmm.
And so how they're doing that is by teaching the people how to farm in a much more effective and efficient way. And mm-hmm. so they bring experts in, they have workshops so that people can learn how to do this and bring it back to their own communities. So all of those things has, you know, the boat is lifting, you know,
mm-hmm.
but you know what, I have to say this. If there is problems in countries, it's typically because of civil strife,
yeah.
and internal fighting.
Okay.
For instance, Haiti. Haiti's in the news.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, we had planned a trip to Haiti, a project manager and I, and we can't go because there's, you know, the State Department is has warnings.
Okay.
They've got a lot of turmoil in Haiti right now. Well, that doesn't help anybody.
No.
You know, people can't get food, the roads are closed. I mean, it's a mess. So a lot of times in my mind, the countries themselves are their own worst enemies.
Sure,
because
yeah.
of those kinds of things. Same thing is happening in Cameroon, where we have partners, a partner now, their organization has not been damaged, thank goodness. But there's fighting right in their town.
Okay.
Another partner that I know, a donor of ours, and just a wonderful, wonderful woman, her and her mother started a school there. Well, the school's been closed down for a year or maybe
wow.
more now.
Wow.
They just, because of the violence in Cameroon. You know, so these things happen.
Yeah.
And so, but we have no control over those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
So we can just do what we can do, and then, you know, be as cautious and careful as we can. But there's nothing we can do about those things.
Absolutely, yeah. So let's say someone hears this podcast and they want to begin giving to 200 orphanages worldwide. Can you
uh-huh.
talk about what donations do for your organization?
Oh, yeah. Well, donations of any size make a difference because
mm-hmm.
there's two ways to donate. Obviously, you can go to our website
mm-hmm.
and donate. If you want to give a monthly donation, you can do all of that online.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, and you can select your project. If you really see one there that you love and you want to help, put your money in that, and it'll be actually designated and will go into the funds that we're raising for that project.
Yeah.
And we don't distribute the funds until we get most of it.
Okay.
Right. So, and then once we get the funds, we distribute in phases if it makes sense to do that, so that we can monitor those funds that they're actually being used for the project, and so we can see the progress and share the progress as it goes.
Yeah.
So, and also people can mail. We are also on the on your website.
Yes, you
so
are.
People can go to your website
and
find us there too.
Well, do you have any upcoming events or programs you'd like to highlight before we go?
Well, I think I talked a little bit about the parties with purpose.
Mm-hmm.
That is really a key focus of ours right now.
Okay.
We consider that really a grassroots effort. And for a small boutique nonprofit like us,
mm-hmm.
I don't think I mentioned this, but I am a volunteer as well. I'm a founder and director, but I've never taken any money. As a matter of fact, I'm probably I'm a donor.
Okay.
So, and I donate money towards the organization to help pay for our any administration costs. So those also do not come out of any donation. So 100% of what people donate goes to the project that they choose.
Nice.
So so they're, all of their money makes a direct impact. So that's one key element too that people like. Mm-hmm. But if they would like to do a party with purpose, and that would be awesome. And there's a toolkit on our website that they can find. And if they'd like to sign up for our newsletter, that too, they can just go on our website, and we have on the front page a place they can put their name and email address, and you know, they can unsubscribe anytime. So if they get bored with that, they don't have to stay listening to us if they don't want to.
Absolutely. Right on.
So those are primarily the ways people can get involved. We do have volunteer opportunities sometimes. And on our website there's a link also to an ACT, if you want to just press the ACT button.
Uh-huh.
That'll take you to Volunteer Match, and we get a lot of awesome volunteers for Volunteer Match. I highly recommend it, and if anybody's interested in serving on the board, all of those things, we have lots of opportunities for people to help.
Right on. Well, Jan, thank you so much for calling in and telling us about 200 Orphanages Worldwide and all the amazing things that you guys are doing.
Oh, you're so welcome, Heather. Thank you so much for having me. I love it. It's been so much fun.
Yay, I'm glad.
Okay, so that was Jan Hansen, the founder and director of 200 Orphanages Worldwide. Very cool look at a problem that exists not just here in this country, but around the world. So thank you very much, Jan, for coming on and talking to us a little bit about that issue. Before we go, you have some trivia.
I do have some trivia.
So, you already prefaced it. This is interesting.
Yeah, so I was looking up, you know, different things about orphanages and about orphans, and then it hit me like, oh my gosh, Philip loves celebrity trivia.
I
like
sure
movie
do.
Trivia, so... then I
love
like,
all trivia, but celebrity trivia is fun too.
So celebrity orphans. Okay. And then I was just like, well, I don't want to just be like, who is this person and give you some kind of bio.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I was like, hey, how about nicknames?
Okay.
So I'm going to give you a nickname.
Okay.
And then I want you to guess the person.
Okay.
So these are folks,
these are the actors themselves.
Well, this
celebrity
runs the gamut.
Okay.
So it goes from say,
so not just roles that they played were orphans.
No,
they're
no,
actual
they
like
themselves.
Okay.
Yeah. So they themselves. And then also there are political figures in here.
Oh, okay.
And musicians.
Okay. Got it. Let's do it.
And sports people.
Okay. Let's do it.
Okay. So the blonde bombshell.
Oh my gosh. The blonde bombshell.
And I would say all of these people are 1900s. There was a guy in the 1700s.
Okay, so is it a person currently alive or dead?
They are dead.
Okay, so a hot blonde person from back in the day.
Really? The one doesn't come to mind?
Well, I'm just going to say, I mean, Marilyn Monroe comes to first mind.
That's
is that right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah!
I was like, really? Come on. All right, this person. Okay, so yeah, she went to a foster family because her father, nobody's really sure who he was.
Oh,
but
wow.
Her mother was mentally unstable, and then she was placed with a foster family.
Wow.
So she did not have both.
That's
parents.
Interesting.
All right, this person is a musician, and I have three different nicknames.
Okay.
So first, you're not going to get this one.
Okay.
The High Priest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Second one is the Genius of Soul.
Oh, wow. Genius of Soul. Okay, and what's the third one?
Brother Ray.
Ray Charles.
There you go.
Okay, sweet. He was an orphan.
Yeah,
yes,
so
that's
at 10 years old, his father abandoned his family, but his mother died when he was 15.
Okay.
So then he stayed with family and friends.
Wow.
Until he came to Seattle to pursue some music.
Oh, look at that. Hey, little local connection. I like that.
All right, then this one. Mm-hmm. This is also a person about the same era.
Okay.
There's four nicknames for this person.
Holy cow.
Okay. And I don't know if you're going to get any of them.
Settle
you
on
might,
one, people. Settle
know,
on one.
I know you've read books specifically about this person.
All right. I know you've read books.
You've read a word or two.
Okay.
Okay. Nickname, Red.
Okay.
Okay. So nickname, first one, Red.
Okay.
Second name, El Shabazz.
Okay.
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 Third one is Detroit Red.
Okay.
And the fourth one, El Haj Malik.
Oh, wow. And it's a person from history.
Yes.
And it is a, is the person a performer?
No. I mean, I'm sure that he could say he was, or other people would say he was, especially as an orator.
Oh, wow. Muhammad Ali.
No.
Okay.
But same era. Like, he was big during Muhammad Ali's heyday.
Oh, wow. I'm gonna, I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm just going to say Malcolm X.
Oh, wow. You're good at this.
Did I do that?
You did. Yeah. Nice job.
Oh, man.
So his father, Earl Little, died when he was six.
Yes.
Under suspicious circumstances.
That's
which
correct.
The family did assume was racistly driven.
Yes.
But no one could prove it.
Oh, yeah. Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. No one could prove a lot of those things
yes.
back then.
And then when he was 12, his mother suffered a nervous breakdown and mm-hmm. spent time at a state hospital. So he was in foster homes and then
yeah.
he lived with his sister.
Look at the connection between all three at this point. If you look at it, like you can see the consequences of being an orphan. Marilyn Monroe died mm-hmm. of a drug overdose. Ray Charles had huge drug mm-hmm. problems. And Malcolm X was imprisoned for a long period of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing.
So this nickname, I don't think you're going to get from at all.
Okay.
But the nickname is Granny. And this person is a political figure.
Still around?
No, she died in 62.
Oh, wow. No, that's going to be hard. I'm going to just go ahead and say, let's say Eleanor Roosevelt.
Wow, you're good at this.
Did I do that?
Holy crap. Nicely done.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know how I got there?
Huh.
62, she died. She was called Granny, so she had to be older by then,
yeah.
which means that she had to be significant in the 40s, so yeah. that was Eleanor Roosevelt.
Nice, nice. So, yeah, her father,
wow.
her mother died from diphtheria in 1892.
Wow.
And when she was 8 and when she was 9, her father died from the same disease.
Wow.
So she was raised by her maternal grandmother.
That's a tough lady right there.
She was, you know, an old lady when she was just a child.
That's a tough lady.
So this one doesn't have a nickname.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you his real name.
Okay.
Because he really does go by his nickname.
Okay.
Tracy Lauren Morrow. M-A-R-R-O-W, Morrow. And this person's alive now.
I mean, the only one I can think of is Tracy Morgan.
No.
Okay.
Ice-T. Tracy.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So his mom died when he was in the third grade, and his father raised him until he was 12 when he died of a heart attack.
Okay.
So then he got shuffled, and he ended up being raised by his aunt and uncle.
Wow. Okay.
All right. So this one, you have to get this.
Okay. Now let's there's see. Too much pressure.
There's four nicknames.
Yeah.
If you don't get it by the second one.
Yeah. Okay.
But if you don't get it by the third one, I don't know what's wrong with you.
Okay.
The Behemoth of Bust.
Okay.
The Caliph of Clout.
Caliph of Clout. I mean, it's got to be Babe Ruth, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, the Sultan sure. of Swat.
Sultan
the Great
of Swat.
Bambino.
The Great Bambi. Mm-hmm. The Wimpy Deer.
So he was sent to live in an orphanage when he was 7.
Yes.
And then he, you know, have all of his brothers and sisters. There were 8 children. Only him and his sister Marnie survived infancy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Enough. This one, let's see. I don't know that you'll get this one either, but we'll
okay.
go with it.
I mean,
so,
I got Eleanor Roosevelt. That's
you
pretty
did.
Good.
You got that out of like yeah. the blue. So the
yeah.
Tomahawk Man.
Okay.
And then he received that name because of voracious critical reviews. And then he also had a pen name, Quarles, spelled Quarles, Q-U-A-R-L-E-S,
Tomahawk
but he
Man.
Might have called it Charles.
So he was a critic.
Well, he had people criticize his work.
Oh, he had people criticize his work.
And then, so he did die in the 1800s, but then oh. South Park had him on an episode where he was called Night Pain. Night Pain. If you get this, it'll be amazing.
Abraham Lincoln?
No.
Okay.
Abraham Lincoln would not be called Night Pain, I don't think, on
I don't
South
think
Park.
So either. No, no, no. I mean, they would be real.
Yeah.
That'd be bad.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, one more guess here. 1800s,
mm-hmm.
Tomahawk Man, criticized for his work. Wow. That must be like a president of some kind, right? He'd have to be a celebrity.
Well, he's a celebrity, but he's more of an author than a
Mark Twain?
Figure. No.
Okay, who is it?
Edgar Allan Poe.
Oh, yeah, I'd have never gotten that
yeah.
one.
So his father abandoned the family when he was an infant, and his mom died from pulmonary tuberculosis when
yeah,
he was 2.
Yeah, his writing really reflects a sweet,
mm-hmm.
sweet depression.
Yeah. yeah.
Nothing but feel good vibes from old
right.
Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah. That's why Night Pain.
yeah.
Okay, so then this one, I don't know that you'll get this, but mm-hmm. The Bear is his nickname, and it's, quote, because at most parties, he would act a little awkwardly. But he is Russian.
Vladimir Putin?
No, he's also dead a long time ago.
Oh, Lenin? Stalin?
No.
Okay, who?
Leo Tolstoy.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't gotten there. Yeah. I would have had to go down the Communist Manifesto greatest hits. I wouldn't have been able to get there.
Okay, so then we'll go with one more.
Yeah.
His nicknames I think are funny.
Okay.
Okay. So three of his nicknames I'll give you, and then I'll give you what a place was named after him.
Okay.
Okay. So okay. The Great Engineer.
Okay.
The Great Humanitarian.
Okay.
And the Man of Great Heart. Okay. Those are his nicknames.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. He's a political guy.
Okay.
But if you can't get that, I'll give you a famous place that was named after him.
Okay, give me the famous place.
Hoovervilles.
Herbert Hoover.
Yeah.
Wow.
So both of his parents died by the time he was 9.
Okay.
And then he shuffled around from family to family.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, man of great compassion, eh?
Yeah, apparently. I was like, what?
Interesting. Was that sarcastic?
Yeah. Okay, I'll give you one more. Okay. The greatest Olympian of all time.
Michael Phelps?
No.
Oh, never mind. Greatest Olympian of all time, like Carl Lewis, Jackie Joyner Kersee. Who is this?
Jim Thorpe.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I will grant that one. Yeah.
So
I will grant that one.
When he was 11, his mom died during childbirth, mm-hmm. and then his father died from an infection when he was 16.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah, he didn't have a lot going on.
So I did okay.
You did okay.
I threw
it. It was some of these ones that were
I made a couple of awesome ones, and then, you know, trailed off at the end. Trailed off at the end. We'll edit the failures out.
Oh, yeah, right. I do that every single time.
Yeah, of course.
Ha ha ha.
All right. So that was our show. We're gonna talk a little bit about some upcoming events for you. We actually just had the Fur Baby Fun Run on August 3rd, and we also had an amazing car show at the same day, both put on by volunteers at Department of Labor and Industries. That was very cool.
Yeah.
We just finished up the ESD softball tournament on August 10th at the Game Farm Park in Auburn. It's growing bigger and bigger every single year. It was very cool this year. I was super happy to be a part of that. Thank you to Jeannie and all the volunteers who put that together. We'll have a golf tournament for Correctional Industries coming up on August 17th. The amazing crew at DRS is putting together yet another Run CFC this year. It's a nerd theme, so it's called the Nerd Herd on September 14th. We'll be at the Golf for Veterans tournament on September 14th. And then, of course, the big old masquerade ball happening on October 19th at 7 p.m. We, of course, will have more details about that as that approaches. But that is it for Podcast for Good this week. I want to thank Jan for coming on, and I want to thank Ms. Lucas for always holding it down.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. See you later, people.
Bye.